Liberate with Right You Are, who has it in its sights and moves up, takes the lead and pounces. Right You Are, about a length, Liberate Translator. Liberate coming back at Right You Are, but Right You Are beat Liberate Translator. At the 250, led by two lengths, Snitzcraft, and then Ash Law, Innkeeper, back on the inside, then News Girl, still Tavasan, 100 metres to go in front of Walls chasing, Innkeeper and Ash Law, Tavasan in front of Innkeeper, Tavasan beat Innkeeper, and then came I Am Someone. It's Heptagon from Jumbo Asaki, then Victoria Star and Kaplumpich winding up. Heptagon approaching the 100 metres in front of Victoria Star and Kaplumpich. Heptagon going well for Lewis German, and Heptagon won it. Heptagon first, Photo second, Kaplumpich or Victoria Star from Jumbo Asaki, then Sabbath.
Oh, what a day at the office it was for Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr., continuing their recent domination of Saturdays, and it is great to be joined by Mick Price this morning. Good morning, Mick.
Morning, Michael. How are you going? You're at the Emerald, they done.
We are. What time can we expect you down here today?
On the drink, not.
Well, but maybe just for some lunch.
Monday. Well, the doors open again.
One of your cohorts will be here who has declared he wants to pull the first beer. That's Kieran Maher. Probably no surprise to you, though.
No surprise. He's Irish.
Well, no better way to come down and celebrate a treble on a Saturday than down here at the Emerald. Well done to yourself and Mick Kent Jr. The last few weeks, the stable's been absolutely airborne. Is this a period that you targeted with your horses coming into this time of year, that you thought we've got a few, that the ratings suit and they're coming through and you expected to have this purple patch?
Oh, not really. I mean, Right You Are a horse developing, Liberate the same, Tavasan maybe this time of year, and the Heptagon this time of year, even probably Mascolino, you know. But I think some of those horses that handle wet ground and they've got to go through their grades, it's a nice time of year for probably horses between benchmark 70 and open handicap, you know, if you can find those races. Anyway, it's just, you know, you keep your head down and your bum up and keep hacking away, and it works. It seems to work.
Right You Are is probably the most promising and might have the most upside. Is he a horse that you think could get to group class level?
Yeah, I think so. It would be nice. The guys have also got the half-sister here by Glint, so we have had that discussion by Zeus Dunk or Glint. I suppose with the Carnival's getting put back, apart from Flemington, if the Carnivals get put back, there might be some options for him. But I think 3 weeks between runs, there was 2,000 metres at Flemington for him. You know, he's a So You Think out of a Ballarat Cup winner. He's not a big, doughy, staying type horse, but I think that is where we'll go with him at his next start. And, yeah, he's obviously going to get up in the weight and three old handicaps, but we'll just have to work that out at the time. But, yeah, he'll get to the point where he'll run in the black type for sure.
He still looks like he's learning. He does a few things wrong.
Well, he's a funny horse. Cotton counter work, he comes out here like boom, boom, you know, bouncing around all the time, and then you're working by himself, can't get him going. I had to work him twice last Saturday. Regan Bayless rode him, and he was supposed to run 6.03 and come back in, and he was a second under even time. So I blamed Regan at the time, but I probably should have blamed the horse. Anyway, we can send him back out and do some real work with him. And look, he turned up good. But when the call there said Liberate fighting back, I think it was Right You Are cocking off.
Yeah.
More so. I mean, Liberate's a nice filly, you know. She's a promising filly. But I think she was clocking off. He was clocking off, and Damien had to sort of, you see the last 50, had to pull the stick again. So I think there's more there from that horse. You just got to time your run on him. And he'll eventually get it, you know. We're in no hurry with him. He's winning, and we don't need to pressure him. But, yeah, I think 3 weeks between runs and 2,000 metres.
Have you had many horses like that, that are just dead lazy on the training track and just produce it on race day?
No, it can be the opposite. Usually they work super and, you know, on the track and then don't quite deliver on race day. But, yeah, he's a little bit unusual. But, look, they're all different. You know, that's just his quirky little nature at the moment. But as I said, the only one thing that will cure that, we don't need to rev him in blinkers or anything like that. We just need to train him and get the right races for him, and he'll do the rest.
You've got Ocean X in a Melbourne Cup already. How is the spring Arsenal looking over the next few months?
Oh, look, I've got to know we've got to go through them. Got to go through them a bit. Hopefully, we can get a couple of nice three-year-olds. We like that horse, National Choice, the Schnitzel horse. He won his first start and then only ran third, but it was a real sit and sprint that day. And look, he's out of a seven bill me. I think he'll get a mile. Be tough race, I suppose, but we've got a few like him that may or may not make the grade, you know. Ocean X is spelling at the moment, and we will set a plan for her to get her into the Melbourne Cup, but look, there's always something there for us.
You mentioned what the spring carnival looks like. We're going to go through it. We've seen a leaked document, which no doubt you and other trainers have seen. I know you were in a meeting last week at Caulfield in regards to the proposed plan for the spring. Are you for or against it, Mick?
Well, I think if the VRC moved, which they won't, it'll be ideal. The concept of it in this year needs to be looked at for, you know, crowd participation if the rules are relaxed. And maybe keep away from the footy and be the main sporting event in the state, if not the country. The idea of everything going back 4 weeks, I think it's fantastic. But it just gets a bit messy with VLC not doing it at all.
So from a perspective in regards to your horses moving forward, and there are a number of dates that do change from the race days, and obviously the Cup and the Guineas are the main ones. The Zipping moves back onto Caulfield Cup Day, the Turnbull moves back a week, the Underwood moves back to the weekend of where the grand final would normally be, the Fee, and there's a lot of movement, which we'll go through in more detail for the listeners later, but you've seen it. Do you like the flow of how the Spring Carnival looks, 12 consecutive Group 1 Saturdays, for the different age groups into a Caulfield Guineas and then the stays as well? Does it work?
I think on a horse-by-horse basis, are you stuck for races or not? That's the question. And I think, you know, without delving into it and doing programs for individual horses, there's, you know, no shortage of horses. I had a quick look at Melbourne Cup the other day, and there's no shortage of mile-and-a-half horses, mile-and-a-half races leading in. So, it's just, it's messy, but it's a messy year, isn't it, with COVID? So I think you just got to roll with it. It won't be too many dramas, but anyway, well, I think you just work it out horse by horse. It'll be fine.
If it comes down to a trainer vote through the ATA and the owners, would you be voting for it, or would you just prefer to see the status quo?
Well, I think what they're trying to achieve is commendable and logical. As I said, if they all did it, it would be perfect. But if you know, some of them do it, and the other, and VRC does not do it, it's still workable. I don't think it's going to disadvantage a lot of horses. It's going to be messy, but it's a messy year, you know. So, well, what's the vote? What are we voting for?
What are we voting? Beg your pardon?
The Melbourne Racing Club not to do it.
Well, it'll come down to whether it remains as is in the current dates or whether the proposed plan, which includes the Caulfield Cup moving and the Caulfield Guineas moving to after the Melbourne Cup, is given the green light.
I think it's a better idea to move them all back, right?
Yeah.
As I said, you're trying to get crowd participation, and how do you know what Daniel Andrews, if he might relax things and you get crowds back and you're away from the footy? Well, clearly it's a better idea. But it's just a little bit messy if... some clubs do, some clubs don't, you know. But look, you're still, I don't think you're going to be majorly disadvantaged horse by horse, you know.
As part of the move, the Ballarat Cup would move back into December, and the Pakenham Cup at this stage, the Ballarat Cup December 4, Pakenham Cup a TBA. Is the other factor what it would do to the preparations possibly for autumn? Would autumn, some of their races also need to get pushed back?
You just need to be a bit flexible, don't you? I wouldn't be worried about it if by the time if the COVID restrictions are relaxed by the autumn. Well, I don't think you need to extrapolate it into the autumn. I think we'll worry about the autumn later. But anyway, just for this spring, if they do, they do. If they don't, you know, we still work our way around it. Not the end of the world.
And how has this period been for your operation? We know the prize money's been reduced. Has it put much stress? Because you are one of the bigger trainers here in Victoria, re-owners and horses.
No, it hasn't been okay. It's been okay for us. I mean, I had $800,000 of yearlings to sell when COVID came along, and that looked like for a month there was nothing doing, but we've been chipping away. There's activity out there. I think in some of the country centres and the country trainers who are stuck with yearlings, it may be more difficult. I think if you have a good selling arm in your stable and you are out there all the time marketing, which we sort of are, then you'll get them done. You know, we're chipping away. We've got interest, but it hasn't been too bad. Like I said, William Inglis and a little bit, not so much Magic Means, but William Inglis certainly rang and said, look, we're here to support you. And, you know, it's usually 90 days interest-free, then I think it's about 1% a month, which is pretty exorbitant on money that you owe. But they've come to the party, I think, and, you know, we're doing our bit and trying to sell them, and hopefully they do their bit, you know. But that's the only real restriction. I mean, how lucky have we been that we've been an essential industry and been allowed to trade, you know. So all the protocols this industry has put in place, and, you know, it's one time the industry sort of in Victoria being a bit united and shown some leadership, and, you know, things have worked well. So I think we've been very, very lucky.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Are you resigned to, we don't have the prize money levels for the majors in the spring carnival, are you resigned to the fact that you would expect a major decrease in those prize money levels with what we've been going through?
Well, I think they're 10% off the top on the major, 20% off the top on the major ones, and 10% off. Not going to stop anyone. What are you going to do? Not put your horse in because it's 10% prize money off. I mean, they're enormous prize money anyway. And as I said, we're lucky to be trading, and, you know, 25,000 people in Victoria have jobs, and we should be thankful and appreciative, I think. And if they have a chip of the prize money, the only thing I would say is when the restrictions are eased and the industry does get back in a full-blown sense, then they wouldn't want to be shortcutting on the prize money. They want to put it back to the pre-levels. But that's a matter for, you know, the money aspect of it and how much the industry has lost and whether they can or whether they can't. But, look, I think people in the industry are all driving the same way. You know, we want the maximum return to owner because then all stakeholders benefit. You know, they wouldn't want to have big money in coffers and not go back to proper prize money levels, but that remains to be seen, I guess. But as I said, I haven't heard too many complaints about racing for a little bit less prize money. It's better than you know, New Zealand and France and Tassie, and you know, I think they've done a good job here.
One of the effects of this COVID period is we've never had a stronger depth in our jockey ranks because they can't travel anywhere. And I was interested in your comments after Benny Mellon rode a great race. We know what Ben's going through and the charges he's facing, but you actually were quoted as saying you put it on Ben to say, well, tell me why you should continue to ride.
Exactly. And he gave me some good reasons, and that's a confidential conversation. I admire him because, you know what, he is a genuine Group 1 jockey. He may lack a little bit in application from one day to the next, but that's, you know, he's the loser there. But I can tell you ability-wise and his smarts in a race is comparable to any Group 1 jockey in this country. People don't see it because he probably doesn't allow them to see it, but if he did ever put a year after year after year of proper focus, he would find he'd be, you know, tabled as one of the good Group 1 jockeys in this country.
Mick, always great to get your thoughts on a range of issues. You've got one today at Pakenham on the Syntho, don't you? Race 7, Clever Choice. Should we be having a bet?
Look, she'll give a bit of cheek. She's probably not going to go to Group 1, but anyway, she'll give a bit of cheek. You probably don't need to unload the pennies on her.
All right, well, she's the favourite at the moment at $4, but we'll just tread warily. Mick, well done again on another outstanding day on Saturday at Treble at Caulfield.
Enjoy the beer.